Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday. February 27th. Tomorrow, the month is ending. We'll see you back in March next week.
Yes.
It's funny when you say it that way, huh? Just like before New Year's, you go, see you next year. You
know? Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Did you see? Well, we have a very special guest on the show. We're going to get to him in a few minutes. Did you see this video with the llamas running around?
No.
That it's like circulating around the internet?
No, I was too caught up in this stupid dress scandal.
Oh, can you believe that one?
Oh, kill me. I can't stand it.
Isn't that funny, though?
I mean, honestly, it's like there are so many people out there that put so much content like on the web to try and get noticed.
Right.
Yet this one dress is like rocking the world right now.
I know. And the thing is that they're saying there's a scientific explanation to
there
it.
There is,
now,
yeah.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there's a picture circulating of a dress that's supposedly white and gold, right? But then when some people look at it, it's blue.
And so, truthfully, the dress is blue and black.
Blue and black?
Yes.
Okay. So, but let me ask you this. I'm looking at it right now.
Right.
It's gold and white.
Right.
Last night, somebody showed it to me on the phone. It was blue. So, it's not me. I think it has, they're saying it has to be with the cones in the eye.
Yes.
But it can't be because I've seen it both colors. I think it has to do with the display that you're looking at it in.
It could be. Like the angle of your computer screen and things like that. People are like doing tests of their own to compare the two photos. But the actual dress is blue and black. The company that made the dress confirmed it, and they put it on the news this morning on the Today Show.
Did you see it yet?
Yeah.
And what color did you see?
Well, in the photo, I saw, it depended on which photo I saw. So,
really? So you saw two different photos in different colors?
Yeah.
Okay, so the same with me.
Yeah, one to me was very clearly white and gold, right. And then the other one was very clearly black and blue.
Right.
But the dress itself, when worn by a human being on camera, right. Is black and blue.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, the company confirmed it. The dress exists. It's real. It's black and blue.
Yeah.
But in photos, it comes off differently because of the cones in your eyes and the genes you have in sight.
I see. Okay. So in the photo, it's different from
right.
the video. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha. All right. All right. So that's the story of the dress. You guys can't miss this if you're
no.
on social networks.
Oh, my God. It's everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, I mean, last night somebody showed it to me. But
I thought accounts were getting hacked.
Really?
Yeah. I had a movie night last night with my girlfriends, and we were all gathered around the table, like, comparing phones and saying, like, why is, like, Kanye West posting this? Why is Taylor Swift posting this? Like, did everybody's phones get hacked? And it wasn't. It was just that everyone was joining in on the conversation about this dumb dress.
Really? Wow. It's amazing how things go viral.
Totally.
Huh? And you can never plan it.
I mean,
you never know what's going to happen.
It's so random for, like, what it is, too.
I know, you know, because some videos are great, but they don't really go viral. I mean,
no.
You see them here and there.
What's this llama video?
Okay, so the llama video is funny because they escaped a retirement home, and they started running on the street. So there's a helicopter filming the whole thing, and people are trying to catch them, and they're running even faster. You've never seen an animal run that fast before.
So
and it's funny
weird.
Just to look at it, you know?
Right.
And everybody's trying to corner them and catch them, but they're just so fast that people fall behind, you know? And stopping the traffic in the middle of traffic and everything. And they're just so cute, you know?
I'll have to watch this video.
You'll have to watch it.
I can get behind the llamas, not the dress.
Yeah. I posted it on my Facebook, so if you guys want to see it, you can take a look at it, although it's probably everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's really funny. It happened in Phoenix, and a white and a black llama, and they're running around, and it just shows you how animals are equipped to really defend themselves, you know.
Yeah.
In nature.
And they have funny personalities too.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're not supposed to have personalities. I don't know. But if they do, it's funny.
No, you know what? I actually saw someone posted a picture of the llamas and made one black and blue and one white and gold.
Really?
Yes.
Now, there's an original thing, right?
Yeah. I think it was like the fat Jewish on Instagram. It's just, I mean, these things.
I know. So these things are all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
And that's funny. You know what I'm totally baffled about is yesterday all they talked about is how the mayor of D.C. decided to decriminalize marijuana and against Congress or anything. And how they couldn't really sue her or anything. And the thing is, I'm looking today, there's nothing about it anywhere. I don't understand it. I heard it on CNN. Now I'm looking on CNN.com. There's nothing. Okay? But the thing is that it's an amazing thing. I mean, I've never seen this done before.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure you're excited.
Well, I'm not in D.C., so I don't really care. I mean, it's decriminalized here, too. If I lived somewhere else, I'd move to California anyway.
That's true. That's true.
But this is in the news. Obama backs pot decriminalization efforts. So, in other words, he says no legalization but decriminalization, which means that it's not like we're really advocating this.
Right.
But we're not going to send you to jail for it, kind of a thing. You know?
Okay.
So, but I mean, Obama said this, so I mean, the attitude has really, really changed towards this.
That's great.
I know. And I finally came out to my daughter the other day.
Really?
Yeah, I was in the closet to my kids about this.
I mean, does she listen to the radio
show? And she's 24. Yeah, they don't really listen. But we started talking about it, and she was considering taking it for her ailments and stuff. And so then I started coming across as really knowledgeable about this.
That's cool.
I know. So, yeah, at this point in their lives, it's just that, you know, just like your kids are always kids for you, it's just like, you know, when you don't tell them when they're young, you just don't tell them when they're older. You know?
Right. Oh, goodness. Tales of my mother. So she calls me this morning at 8:30 to give me advice. Life advice.
Really?
She's like, well, when I think of it, I have to tell it to you right away or I'll forget.
Right. Then she doesn't text. She called you, actually.
She actually called. I think it was because it was too long for her to text.
Okay.
But I was surprised that the phone was ringing, so I thought there must be an emergency.
Yeah.
But she actually called to tell me that when leaving the bank, she was carrying cash, and she asked the security guard of the bank to walk her to her car because she didn't want to get mugged because she had so much cash on her.
Right.
So she wanted to feel safer. So her moral of her story was that I can always ask for help.
Okay.
So I said to her, thank you, mother.
You usually don't ask for help?
No, of course I do. If I don't feel safe. I told you the other day, I parked my car, you know, on the street outside of the studio, and I moved it into the garage because I didn't feel safe. There was a car behind me on the street, and it was like a creepy car.
Really?
Some person
was in
it. Oh,
no, you did tell me.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I parked my car in the garage instead so that at least, you know, our garage man, Jose, could see me go into the building, and I would be, like, watched by surveillance or whatever was around, and I felt safer. So anyway, my mom calls to tell me that I should do that in the future, and I'm like, you know, I'm 30, right? And I live in a completely different state across the country from you, and I've been doing just fine.
Right.
But thank you so much for caring.
Right.
She's like, well, one more thing. If you're going to count your cash while you're in the bank, ask them to put you in a place that's, like, a secret place. I was like, again, thank you for this information. You're about 30 years too late.
Yeah,
but
I know.
You must have taught it to me a long time ago at some point because I do it.
Right.
But she was reteaching me, or it was like a new concept for her. So she really wanted to tell me this morning at 8:30.
Well, it got to the front of her mind, I guess. So she decided she's going to share her experience with you.
I guess so.
That's cool. She didn't say anything about the shout out, so thus she
doesn't
listen.
No, I don't think
listen.
She's been
okay.
But I know that some of her friends listen.
Really?
And hi, Ronnie. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And she wrote that she wrote me on Facebook that she loved our Monday dating episode.
Really?
I can't even keep track which one is about dating anymore.
I know.
Anymore.
That was the one with Kimberly here from the Love Debate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a good show.
It was.
It was a good show. We'll have to ask her back. I haven't heard from her since then.
Oh, I've been in like contact on Twitter with tweeting the Shift for Love and some other people wanting me to come on their show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, I've screamed I'm single enough for somebody to hear it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So we'll see. I'll maybe do that.
Yeah. Wow. I guess Catwoman, the cartoon character, came out as a bisexual.
That's so random, but yeah, she did.
I know. It is so random, right?
It's so random.
Wow.
I mean, though, I would rather that be in the news than everything else that we've been seeing.
I know, man. It's terrible. You know, like that Jihadi John.
Yeah.
You know, they identified him,
good.
I guess.
Good.
But I doubt that they'll ever catch him unless they send some spies and shit into there and find him.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah. I don't know. And before we get to our guest, I just want to follow up on this story. If you remember, we talked about this singer, Gary Glitter, who
yeah.
you don't remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, he was accused of child sex abuse, and I was actually handed a 16-year prison sentence.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
And yeah, this guy's 70 years old, and I mean, this is not one time. He actually had sex or attempted rape with a girl under 13, and then one count of having sex with a girl under the age of 13. I mean, come on.
Yikes.
Come on.
I know.
You know, but the thing is, and this happened like in the 70s.
Right.
But apparently there's no statute of limitation in England, so they sent his ass to jail, and then there's another four counts of indecent assault against girls. So apparently, you know, when he was popular, I guess just like today, you have a lot of teenage, even tweens,
yeah.
that are the fans, you know. And if you remember, like with the Beatles and everything, it was all those little girls screaming
right.
and stuff, you know. So, and all these other concerts like David Cassidy and all these big time timers from a long time ago. So, here he is taking advantage of his fans.
Yeah.
You know. But, I mean, how can he possibly do this? You know, I mean, look, I've seen people that have dated 17-year-olds, okay, and they're 20 or something.
Yeah.
But this guy's a lot older. They're under 13. I don't get it.
No, you that's know? A
so
sick
he deserves,
and twisted thing. Those
yeah.
are children.
So he's going to probably die in jail because he'll be 86 when he comes out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But, wow, can you imagine? I mean, thinking he's probably forgotten long about it. This is like 40 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And then suddenly it comes to haunt him and it comes back. So it just goes to show you, man, you commit a crime, you're never safe. You know,
no,
they'll
don't,
find
don't
you.
Don't commit
man.
It. How about that?
Yeah.
Also,
they'll find you.
Leonard Nimoy died.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
How old was he, does 80, it say?
83. Yep.
Okay, so he lived a nice, good life.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably going to show a lot of his stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And Kanye West apologizes to Beck.
And Bruno Mars.
Oh, did he say something to Bruno also?
I guess I missed whatever he had said to him, but now he's yeah. apologizing to him and wants him on one of his songs.
Oh, okay. Well, this guy's an ass, man.
He is. But, you know, a Kanye-Beck collaboration would be pretty cool.
Yeah, huh?
It's like, you know, I mean, he collaborated with Sir Paul McCartney. So if he's doing that, you know, maybe he'll collaborate with Beck.
Yeah, who knows?
He should.
I guess. I don't know.
Maybe he created controversy, though, just so it's like less about him and Kim and more now about him.
Probably.
I mean, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Makes good music, though.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Okay, anyway, let's get to our guest who's sitting here patiently. And welcome to the show. We have Akiko Tabi in the studio. Welcome.
Hello. Yeah, well, thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Hi.
Thank you. And do you live here in L.A.?
Currently, I'm living in London, but I'm here in L.A. for a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are you doing, promoting the movie and everything?
I come back. I'm a working actor, so I come back for pilot season. I have eight, you know, my reps here, so.
Really? Get a little closer to me.
Oh, sorry.
The
sorry, yeah.
No, it's
so
okay.
Is this better?
Yeah, much better.
Okay. So, yeah, so I'm back currently, but also for the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you used to live here?
Yeah, I lived here for about 8 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you moved to London?
Yep.
How come?
I'm married. My
oh, okay.
my wife is British, and I moved over, and now I'm deciding how to manage being in both places.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. I mean,
no?
With flights nowadays, if you really think about it, It's really 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
just 12
not
hours.
Not bad, yeah.
Just have your day.
I know. When I fly to Israel, it's 14 and a half, so 12 is okay.
Yeah.
But, and plus, I mean, you travel it twice a year. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not too
bad.
If
you go back and forth. Now, it's probably fun, though, living in two different places, huh?
It is. You get, they're two very different cities, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's fun to come back and have a car and drive and see the, have the nice, you know, weather and then celebrity news and everything, and then to go to London where it's like finance and walking and
it's totally opposite.
And,
huh?
Yeah, yeah. Pubs and you got everything in your backpack and you just huddle. You know?
Yeah.
But it's got a real bustle to it. So I love both cities.
Yeah. You see, many cities are like that, but LA is so different. It's LA that's different.
LA is particularly, you know, most interesting. I find right. it to be a fascinating city that it was, yeah. you know, like really one of the few cities built around a car where they tried to, you know, bring Wilshire Boulevard, like a right. downtown to the sea kind of thing, and then it failed. And
yeah.
now we have Miracle Mile. But so I think it's just a testament to American space and the car
right,
culture.
The space, absolutely. Yeah. We have a lot of space.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So, Aki, you're here to promote your film. Let's talk a little bit about the film, and then we can talk about you and
sure.
stuff. But just so people know, the film is called Everly.
Yes.
And you're co-starring Selma Hayek in the
yes,
movie.
Yes, yes. I was
so
really
that's pretty cool, huh?
It was very cool.
Yeah. Well, so tell us a little bit about that. How did you get the part?
Well, the producer and director, they're all from here, from Los Angeles, but they were casting out of London mm-hmm. to shoot in Belgrade, Serbia. And I was in London, so I think I was in the middle of recording for my cartoon, Boyster, and I was asked to come in to tape. I taped, and the next thing I knew, I was on Skype with Joe Lynch, the director, and he was like, off to Serbia, you're going to come.
Wow.
Wow. Just from talking to you?
Well, no, from the tape.
Oh,
the
I
audition
see.
Audition tape, okay. apparently. Apparently, I had a good I really wish I could see the tape because I'm wondering, wow, what did I do
to get the part?
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. I mean, you must be good. You must. And also, people have to realize if you don't get a role, it's not because you're not a good actor, but you may not be just what they're looking for.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And that's the thing. It's just like with any employee, you know, you're not going to hire somebody who's not appropriate for the role, you know, so
exactly.
it's the same with the films, and people get discouraged. Oh, you know, I never get the role. Well, maybe you're going and applying for the wrong roles for you.
I think there's a lot of patience involved, and
right.
I don't know how much control you have about what roles that you apply for that are right, right or wrong.
Yeah,
but you just never know. I think it's. I mean, I have one agent who just says, you know, it's like throwing on the wall and seeing what
yeah,
sticks.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a numbers game, right?
Somewhat, yes.
It is. Wow. And you have to have thick skin.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so maybe.
So that's cool. So do you have a starring role in the movie?
I'm one of the leads. It's like Selma Hayek is obviously the star. And then there are, the way this movie's set up, it's an awesome, fun action thriller where I don't want to give too much away, but it starts in a world where she's trapped in this apartment. She's trying to get out to save her daughter. She doesn't even care about her own life. And there is a mob boss who's kind of kept her as a kept woman who's determined to crush her.
Wow.
And so if you think of it, and it's kind of like a video game or something with the bad guys coming in, the main starring person would be Selma Hayek while people come and go.
Uh-huh.
And I'm one of those people.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good. Now, so where does this take place?
It takes place in an apartment in New York.
Oh, in New York?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's shot in...
Because you said something about Serbia.
Yes, it's shot on a studio lot in Pink Studios in Semenovci. Serbia.
Really?
But, why did they shoot there?
I believe, you know, it's really a worldwide industry now, and everybody with the budgets and money getting tighter, you start looking around the world. I know.
Yeah,
I've heard.
It gets cheaper, right?
It's more. I think there's more cost-effective things, and so they went out and looked at it. I know. I think some of the producers are saying, yeah, even Tarantino's now looking at this place for cost-effective, you know, really? Versus maybe his next best spaghetti western. Who knows?
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. So that's probably for indoor shots and things like that.
So
right?
it was,
where it doesn't really matter if you're in New York or anywhere else.
Yeah, the way they set the film up, I believe the director likes, I think he's a real fan of doing cool different things. Like before he went and shot this movie, he made a short film called Truth in Journalism, which you can find on YouTube, and it has Ryan Kwanten from True Blood, and it kind of is a cool way of introducing Venom. But he totally shot that like in the style of this this film made called Man Bites Dog. And he has like French subtitles, and it's kind of black and white, like footage, found footage or mockumentary footage style. And with this movie, because he wanted to give this constrained feel, right, he never let the camera leave the apartment, which makes for, even though the action and the story can go outside the apartment, it makes right. for a very interesting choice of shots.
Right.
You know, like maybe the action's in the next room, but there's only a bullet hole he can kind of peer through to kind of see what's going and right. things like that.
Yeah. So it's like a psychological drama pretty much, right?
I mean, feel like thriller. What he was trying to do with what he was doing with the camera is definitely to keep you feeling constrained.
Right.
But I would say it's Die Hard in a room.
Really?
I've heard the director say that. And
wow.
I would say I can agree. Die Hard in a room. And I think my character, and the names of the characters are great. There's a sadist, a masochist, I'm a dead man, there's a butcher whore. I would say my guy is the only other kind of good guy.
Uh-huh.
I'm on the bad guy's team, but I get shot right at the beginning. I don't want to give too much away, but
yeah.
She hates me. She realizes I'm kind of okay, and I try to help her as much as I can from an incapacitated state.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So did you have to do, like, stunts and things like that?
I got to get shot in the stomach. I wouldn't call it stunts, but
yeah.
I got to have the shot in the stomach and shooting with not real live bullets, but real live blanks with, you know,
yeah.
earplugs in and everything blowing up around you. To me, I didn't think there was too much acting when we did that sequence at all. I saw glass flying, things exploding, and I felt something like a sharp slap in my stomach and put my hands there and blood's coming out.
Wow.
not too much to act needed
yeah,
here.
Right?
Just sit down and die.
That's yeah, so crazy.
Yeah. It was
fun. That's pretty funny. So the director you said is Joe Lynch.
Yes.
This is probably not his first film, right?
No.
Said he's made some.
Yes, he's made some. He's known for the Wrong Turn 2 remake, which I believe is the highest rated Wrong Turn video. And I, you know, it's actually really good. It's a really cool. I love horror anyways. And
yeah.
It's gripping, and it was a shame that was straight to DVD, but he made that, and then he made a movie called Knights of Badassdom, which had Ryan Kwanten, Summer Glau, Richard Dinklage, Dinklage,
right.
Peter Dinklage,
yes.
And many others, and I don't know exactly what happened there, but what I'm happy about is the first film he did, you know, in the vein of Wrong Turn, because that's already an established series. The second film, there seemed to be something up, and whatever came out was not the cut that he wanted. So he's very proud. I've been obviously reading some of the news articles, and I'm happy to know that I'm in the first film he considers his film. And I'm glad that he likes it. I like it, and it really is a fun time. And we're actually all going out this evening to the Pacific Theater's Vineland Drive-In, and there's going to be a screening. The gates open at 6. The show starts at 7. It's out in the City of Industry, but the director, some of the cast that could make it out here, and the producers, and will be there.
Oh, wow. That's
cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah, the City of Industry is kind of far.
I know, yeah.
It's like inland a little bit, but what the hell, you know? I mean, they're going to play the movie, might as well. And it's a drive-in, too, huh?
Yeah, it's
That's
a drive-in.
So cool.
They're doing one at 7 and one at 10:35, so if you don't want to get stuffed in traffic, there's a 10:35 screening as well. But
cool. And it's actually not that bad. I mean, it's like, I think, maybe 30 minutes from downtown or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's like 18 miles. I mean, I once had a night shoot on a Verizon commercial out there. Not for some reason they wanted to go there for a Verizon store that was big, I guess. And at least at night it feels so quick.
Yeah.
You can zip around. But I'm assuming to get there by 6 we're gonna all be having fun enjoying the LA crawl.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So now how's the film going to be distributed? Is it gonna be like not obviously not direct to DVD because they're going to show it in theaters too?
Yes, there's limited theaters. It's actually also opening in LA. It's going to be at the Lamley Music Hall 3 on Wilshire in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
The cast and crew will be at a screening tomorrow night for it. I think it's playing at 9:55. So it's got a limited theater release that's happening around the U.S. Mm-hmm. Now, and you can find theaters that have it at operationeverly.tumblr.com.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think TWC Radius, they had an interesting model. They did this with a different film with called Snowpiercer. But they actually put it on VOD initially. Mm. So it's been on VOD.
Oh, wow.
It got quite high in the... Yeah. I think it's to build the word of mouth, I believe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is the kind of concept. So yeah, it's also available... Even if you can't make it to a theater, you can, if it's not playing in your city, you can go on iTunes, Amazon, Instant Video, all sorts of things. I don't even know, Xbox, PlayStation, yeah. And you can purchase and rent and watch it.
Wow, very cool. You see, that's the thing. Today, you don't have to be in a certain city to see a movie.
Yeah.
You know, like those limited release ones.
Yeah.
Because they're only in the big cities, you know, and then right. People don't get to see them.
Yeah, as long as, yeah. You know? The thing that's, I guess... With a film like this, I know the director, Joe, was kind of saying, and I can agree, I've not seen this on a big screen yet, but some films, you know, you'd want to go see on a big screen.
Sure. Absolutely.
With some sound, and I feel this would be one of those.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool. So you got to watch the whole movie?
Afterwards? I did watch the movie when it came out, even though I was in the UK, I guess Apple can bust me for, I don't know, maybe they'll fix their problem, but I still had a US iTunes account. Oh, so when I logged into iTunes, I just went, Everly, oh, I can purchase it. So I purchased the movie and I watched it.
So what, iTunes doesn't allow you to purchase it if you're not in the States?
Well, it was a US release.
Right.
So all my friends were like, it's not on my iTunes.
And really?
Oh, right. Well, look, I think the US gets it first, and there's a May 1st release date for theaters in the UK, so I'll get to do another party.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Very fun. So now, a little bit about you. When did you start acting?
I started acting, I'd say, sometime in 2000. I was a computer science major in Austin, Texas, and I didn't really love my major.
Uh-huh. Is that where you grew up in Austin?
Pretty much, yeah, from like 1990, from 10 to 23.
Oh, really?
13 years, yeah.
Yeah, where were you born?
I was born in Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So how did you end up in Austin?
My dad was a PhD student in Michigan, and then he got a job in Columbia, Missouri, and then Austin. He taught at Austin. He's a business school professor.
I see. Okay. And how was moving for you? I mean, was it like easy, difficult? Because I moved a lot, you know, and yeah. So, I mean, you obviously moved quite a few times in your life.
Yeah.
Do you get adjusted to it? I mean, do you find that you're able to build friendships and everything when you live in a place and then you move?
Hmm.
But you lived there for a while, though, right?
Yeah, I feel like because Michigan was from like 0 to 6 and then Columbia was from 6 to 10, those friends I don't really remember so well, but... To this day, true to my heart, are some of my best friends are in Austin. I mean,
oh, wow.
I could shout out to my good friend Stephen Wyatt if he's listening. I have no idea. but yeah, I have. I feel like I made some great friends during that time, and it took a while since then. There was even one small period where my dad had a job in São Paulo, so I went to Brazil for 6 months, and I do remember that feeling tough because, like, in the middle of high school, just to leave. Yeah.
And a different language.
I did go to international school, but yes, learning Fala Português, a little bit of Portuguese, and then just being an outsider. But I guess I learned to make friends quickly, and then I went back to Texas, and then I moved to Japan for a year, and then LA for 8 years.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess after 8 years in LA, it took a while, but I feel some of my good friends are now here as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It does take some time.
Yeah, so I'm doing that in London again. I feel like I'm starting to get my good friends going, but I've been there a little over 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Are you getting a British citizenship too? How does
yes,
it
yeah. I'm, I, well, it's a long process,
right.
As you imagine.
But you married a Brit,
yes,
so...
Yes, yes,
so
I cool. just finished, I passed... There's a test you have to pass, and it's pretty hard.
Really?
It's basically the history.
History.
And yeah. And compared to, like, I was like, okay, I remember history. And I was like, right. You know, 1776 or 1492, Columbus sailed. And then theirs, it's like 20,000 BC.
And
I'm like,
what?
Oh, right. History from then. And then, yeah, you get...
No way.
You get 25 questions. You have to, I believe, get 20 of them correct. They're multiple choice, but it's from anything from that to now.
Wow.
And I mean, some
that's
of the...
That's a lot of history.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think one of the questions was what year did Winston Churchill become a member of Parliament?
Wow.
1899, yeah. 1900, 1901, 1902. And, you know, it's like, so it's very specific, but I did pass, and I do have my indefinite leave to remain, which is like a green card until the time when I get my citizenship.
Very cool, man. Very
Congrats on passing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you're pretty smart, right? You graduated in computers and everything.
I didn't actually finish that degree. No.
Oh,
I,
you didn't?
No. So I wouldn't say I'm that smart.
You're not that smart.
I can walk and shower and drive.
Good for you.
At the same time.
Well, you passed that test. I'm still blown away by that.
So that's cool. So now you went and lived in Japan for just a year?
Yes, it was. By that time, I had decided I was chasing this dream of acting, and I was scared of coming to Los Angeles. All my Austin teachers, a lot of them are in the movie Boyhood. It was really great to see them.
Really?
Yeah, like Marco Perella, the guy who plays the alcoholic stepfather.
Oh, that guy.
He was one of my first acting teachers.
That's so cool.
And Mona Lee and But they made me feel like, you really got to be ready before you come to L.A. Mm. And I had a friend who had gone to Japan who was doing okay. So I first went there to start. And kind of use a degree, and I taught English for 6 months.
Really?
And during that time, I kind of got set up, and then I did a couple plays and went, you know what? It will take me 10 years to become a true native Japanese person.
Yeah.
I got to get to L.A. Yeah. I'm already 23 at the time.
Did you know the language? I mean, did they speak it at home?
My parents spoke it, but I actually, in the end, I studied it and majored in Asian studies with a concentration in Japanese. Once I looked at what I had done in college, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to do theater, but I've done computer science. But I've always taken Japanese, so I can get this degree and get out of here. And so I got that degree. So I was trying to become as bilingual as possible.
Right.
And since then, I realized I'm bilingual. And I got to a point where I'd say in Japan, I was able to hold a conversation for maybe 5 or 10 minutes before they're like, sorry, what part of Japan are you from?
Wow.
I mean, it's pretty tricky. You know, it's like trying to pretend to be British. I can't do that one at all. You get caught out real quick. But for Hollywood and everything, it seems like I have enough. I can vary my Japanese.
Right. So you were in actual plays there. I mean, so you must be able to talk and understand what's going
on. Yes, so I did a play in English and Japanese, kind of a version of Samuel Beckett's play. And then in English, I did Malcolm in the Scottish play, Macbeth. Mm. So that was more Shakespeare.
Yeah, very cool.
But then I came here. And then once I came here, I was like, oh, it isn't. I mean, it's definitely the biggest. It's where everyone comes, but it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Right. And, were you in Tokyo? Is that where you?
Yeah, I was living in Shibuya. My aunt has a house in Shibuya.
I see. Okay, I'm dying to go to Tokyo. You know, I mean,
just from
seeing it in movies and TV,
it's great.
And stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Isn't it supposed to be like the safest city?
It really is. I once had an ID that was expiring, and I decided as an experiment I'd throw it out with an old wallet, and it got mailed back to me.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
I didn't put any money in it or anything, but the actual empty wallet came back in the mail, and I was like, wow. Someone paid postage to give me my.
That's your wallet back.
Wow. A great story.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
it is. I think it's also because those societies are more like group focused, you know. Mm. So it's not as individualistic as it is here. So I think people are more compassionate to each other, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there is a fear to stick out.
Right.
And since the accepted thing is to say not do bad things,
right,
then you just do good things.
Wait, they have a fear to stick out. What about all those like Harajuku people and like?
Oh, that's a different. I don't know how to explain that, but that's like an accepted, you know. But then even they are a group in their own.
True.
Way.
True, you're right.
like together they do this thing.
That's why sometimes I remember a CEO or two that committed suicide when their companies didn't do well. Because they feel like indebted or ashamed of the group they're in, you know, because like they let down the whole group.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting stuff. And also, Japanese women, very beautiful, huh?
Yes.
Did you find that? Did you marry a Japanese woman?
No, I didn't.
No, okay.
I guess I grew up in America. I like all women, but I seem to like.
Yeah.
Caucasian women.
Okay, sounds good.
How did you meet your wife?
I met her in Tokyo at a American bar. called Gas Panic.
Yeah. Wow, how cool. You see, you can meet someone at a bar. Well, maybe
you
in
can.
Japan.
Right. Yeah.
In Japan, in Japan, if you speak English, it's very, you know, all the English speakers kind of find each other.
Right.
Yeah.
We're speaking to Akika Tabi. He is the star of Everly with Selma Hayek. And that movie is coming out. It's coming out this weekend?
Today.
Today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today.
Yeah. That's
today
right. Friday.
The opening day, yeah.
Wow. So you're here at a perfect time.
Yep. I'm here at a perfect time. I'm literally here. And then I actually have two auditions. Then I'm off to the City of Industry.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now, did you have any scenes directly with Selma? I mean,
Yeah. In some of the publicity photos, it's there. I'm the guy with the glasses with the gun stuffed in my face. But because the movie is all contained in the room,
right,
and it's her trying to get out of the room, pretty much everything I do is with Selma. Except for any other people that do come in. There's a point where her family does make it into the room.
I see.
But yeah, so it was really cool. And I really enjoyed it because, in a sense, when I was talking about, you know, this character with the director, it's kind of written in a way where I could just be a figment of Selma's, like, her conscience. Because
right.
She spends lots of time initially alone in the room, kind of trying to keep people out. Mm. And yet there's this kind of dying guy on the couch that gives maybe some sort of Buddhist sage advice a little bit, and she might be like, shut up, or you know, like, cállate pendejo, no, or whatever. But so in a sense, it could be that I was never alive at all, and it's just her way of thinking of how to deal
right.
with it.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Now, no love scenes with her?
No love scenes.
Oh, no, man. You must have been disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been nice to say I had a love scene with Selma Hayek.
I think I would have been too awestruck or nervous.
Yeah.
It was really fun, though. There was one time where she was trying to figure out what would be the best stance to show this, you know, how mad and hurt she was. And she thought it might be a good idea to try to straddle me and put the gun up, and it didn't work.
It's
not in there, I'm sure. It might be on the DVD or Blu-ray.
Wow, but the process would have been nice.
But the process did happen. Yeah. Yeah.
I would love that, man. It sounds good.
She's really nice too.
So she plays like a strong woman, a strong character.
She plays I would say I like this because she plays what's supposed to be just a normal person in an impossible situation. Mm. So it's not that she starts out strong. She just wants to let her daughter, you know how you've heard stories of, say, like a mom whose baby gets under a car and she's able to lift the car.
Right.
I feel like that's the strength that she has finds in this movie.
Yeah.
She has to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. To live.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. I'm definitely going to check out the movie.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
Yeah, the movie's Everly, and it's going to be released at least in L.A. tonight. Do you know if it's released any other place?
Yeah, it's if you go to that, there's a list on this on that operationeverly.tumblr.com page of theaters, and I believe there's New York, Chicago, Portland, Dallas, and Houston. Those are ones I just know off the top of my head, but there's many other cities. Probably about 20 or 30 theaters that have been around, select theaters that have
cool.
So it's going to be, so it's out all around America.
Wow. So give out the website again. I mean, why did they make it so difficult? Why can't they just do Everly the movie or something?
Well, I don't know. I'm slowly getting good at Twitter because of this, but I do think that the director had a good Operation Everly is a hashtag that he's used this whole time. And we shot, since 2 years ago. So I guess operationeverly.tumblr.com.
Okay, so that's not too bad. Okay.
So it's getting that Operation Everly, probably to differentiate from, because there's the band Everly too.
Okay.
So, you know, like it gets it more specific. So if you want the news, it's under hashtag Operation Everly or it's on the Facebook. If you go to Facebook and go to Everly, there's a page there. Or if you go to, I guess it's Radius, TWC Radius. Mm-hmm. There's probably the theater listings on their website as well.
Very cool. So can we see like a trailer of it
on the
website there too?
I don't know. It's on YouTube for sure.
On YouTube.
There's a trailer. Okay. And actually earlier this week, a really awesome remix came out by DJ Mike Reffin, who's got a channel where he does all these remixes using like movie scene, like cuts of movies and the sounds from the movies. And then he mixes up this cool like techno track. So literally, if you go to YouTube and search Everly trailer, you'll get the trailer. There's actually two, a red band and a regular. The regular is the one with a million 1.1 hits or something.
Wow.
And then if you put in Everly Remix, you can get this guy, DJ Mike Reffin's remix, which is really awesome.
Really?
As well.
That's cool. I want to watch these.
Yeah, I know. It sounds pretty good. How long did it take to film the movie?
I was there for a month. I believe they had 6 weeks of principal shooting, and I don't know, there must have been stuff elsewhere
too. Right. It's amazing how they can do a movie like in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, because there's so much going on, and it's a full feature movie, right?
Yeah, it's a full feature, but right. I think because of the putting it all in one room.
Right. Made it a little easier.
Maybe made it easier.
Probably long days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah, we shot 6 day weeks, anywhere from 12 to 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
Wow. But, very cool.
Yeah. How was your safety in Serbia?
Safe? You know, I didn't know anything about Serbia, so I thought, oh my gosh, where am I going? But then I actually realized one of my friends from LA, this girl, Christina Nichols, I know, she's a host in town. She always went to, so she was like, oh my God, you're going to my hometown. And it was great. There was nothing, I didn't feel unsafe at all. There is a building that got bombed by the UN that they've kept busted for like a memorial kind of thing.
Yeah.
Does look a bit off-putting in the middle of the city, a broken building. But actually, Serbians are really friendly. They're really nice. They like to eat like that European, like eat at like 10, and it was hot in the summer and sunny, and everyone's drinking like, I think it's called Rakia. Uh-huh. Rakia. I'd love to go there. And I mean, everything like food and drink are really quite cheap. I remember I was like, I can get a can of beer for 60 cents and maybe a meal for $2 or $3, like a, you know, just a whatever meal for $2 or $3, a good meal for maybe $20, $30.
Yeah.
And I just, I'd go there for vacation again for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah. You see, you get to go to places that you wouldn't go otherwise.
Yeah.
You probably would never have gone to Serbia.
I wouldn't have known then, but now I know my friend Christina, you know, goes there. I'm going to try to find a time for us to, you know, all go hang out in Serbia.
Yeah.
Hang out and party on the boats they have. They have like these boats that the kind of like club boat things that people hang out on. It's really
That's
fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, so your film career, you started building it here in LA, right?
Yeah, I started here. I guess the first thing I did, I got into town, I got a job as a telemarketer, and then I didn't like that. I was like, oh my gosh, you're gonna get an agent. I got an agent. I was still not in the union at the time. And then the first thing I did was this national commercial where I was just the main kid. I used to have bleached hair, and all of a sudden everyone just knew me. Hey, you're the dude from that Singular Go Phone commercial. This was in 2005.
Really?
And from there, I did my first indie film called The Achievers, which is really cool to have it come full circle. One of the cast members in that is this guy, an actor named Randall Park, and this year he's the one who's playing Kim Jong-un in The Interview, and he's got,
really?
And he's got
the,
I love
TV,
that guy.
The TV show Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah.
So it's just really cool to see how full circle it kind of comes, but that's how I started, and then I feel like I came in, and because of the commercial, I got to go for dinner meetings for really big things, and I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And I kind of messed them all up.
Really?
And then I started with like the one line part. My first TV role was like one line on Pamela Anderson Stacked, and then I got a scene on ER that got cut, and that was my first year, and then it just kept kind of going up from there.
Wow.
Awesome. Yeah. And are you working in London too?
Yeah, now it's been pretty good. From last year, it was real surprising, but I got this, I never knew I had it, but I got to do a cartoon series called Boyster. I'm Boyster. It's for Disney XD. It's here. It's playing right now on Disney XD in the middle of the night. But from that, I have another contract now with a television network out there, and I'm doing a series at this moment till the end of the year. And I have a part that I'm going to shoot for a TV show that I can't say anything about yet, but it will be on American TV, and at the moment they're haggling on dates, so I might have to suddenly fly back to London, shoot, and then come back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, how does it work with your wife? Do you guys move together?
No, she has a job over there, so she stays over there. We have a dog, so she kind of takes care of all.
So you only see each other half a year then?
No, because I'm there most of the year. I come here for, you know, a month or two.
Okay.
And I'm
you're
there.
Mostly there.
Yeah, I'm mostly there. Okay. Only if work was to happen, I'd come here.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it still easy to get work while you're there, though?
Get work in London?
Film.
work.
Oh, you can. I guess you can get work in London too.
I have an agent in London, so I'm working from over there.
Okay.
And taping in for here when I'm there, I guess.
Okay. Now, the film Everly, is that an American film or a British film?
Yeah, it's an American film.
Joe Lynch is
the American director, and the producers, they had a production company called Crime Scene Pictures, which made Gambit with Colin Firth and Cameron Diaz. That was, I believe, the first film they made. And they've now, I think they've accumulated into something called Vega Baby. And it's Adam Ripp and Rob Paris and Brett Hedblum, and they're all here in LA, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of them tonight.
Be cool, man. That's very cool. So now you've been in other movies. I mean, obviously, you know, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, you were there?
Yeah, I had a quick part. It's just kind of a plain scene, I was one of the aides, but it was cool. I got to work with, you know, Keira Knightley, and seeing Kenneth Branagh direct Keira and Chris Pine and Kevin.
Wow, you were next to Keira Knightley in the same room?
I was, yeah. Wow. Well, she was kind of sitting in a chair about the same distance you are. Just hanging out.
It's amazing how we make people big just by the fact that everybody can see them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like regular people, you know, but... That's the thing, is that we make them linked to, like, gods or something, you know?
That's one thing I like in London that seems to be a bit of a different attitude is, yes, here, it must be getting treated that way, too, and it has something to do with all the comfort you might get on something here, but there's a British attitude, like, you don't want to... Similar to Japanese, actually, you don't really boast too much.
Right.
And since most everyone likes to go work, tread the boards, like the even big actors like Maggie Smith or whatever, they go back to the West End and they do theater and they work hard and they are used to not having everything be easy all the time. Actors over there, I love that I don't feel that... Like, you know how there's that YouTube video, like, things LA actors say, like, stuff. Yeah, my ride's coming and the bus comes. And, like, there's not that at all over really there. It's very different. It's like, I was just, you know, I'm trying to do my part in the story. And it's just like, you know, some amazing guy who's just been working this whole time. But they're very, I like that attitude. I aspire to be that way myself.
Yeah.
Because if I look at it, really, the people who make the writer and the director, there's a vision and a story to be made, and actors are cogs in the story. But financially, if you're a star, that's a different thing too. But I love that Salma was also an actor. She really wanted the truth in moments. We sat down and maybe rewrote things until it was right and it made sense. What kind of water is this from her?
So he wasn't a diva.
No. So good. I really respect people that keep it like that, because there's no reason to be.
Right. Yeah. It's just a job.
That. Yeah.
It's a job, and you become famous just because a lot of people see you, you know?
Right.
But it's like, you know, there's great people that are not famous.
Absolutely.
And people have to remember that.
Right.
You know? And all famous people are not great either, conversely.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, the stories, like, when people are very dramatic or on set or, like, hard to work with and those kinds of personalities, I'm like, you have the best job in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you need to appreciate that and calm down.
At the Critics' Choice Awards, Kevin Costner's acceptance speech of his lifetime, it would really, you can find that on YouTube as well, but I believe in many of what he said. He, you know, all the caterers, everyone's working hard for something. Actors, it's a pretty easy job. Like, you have a lot of waiting, but why complain? You're not moving lights and, you know, well, in the UK you might be, but over here you're not moving lights and doing all this. And we're getting to play for fun. And
right.
It's real, and it's nice to do that as a living. So I'm really happy. I think Pacino also says, you know, any job you get is an opportunity. I like to think of it that way too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're the main character in Disney XD cartoon series Boyster.
Yep, I'm Boyster.
when did that series start?
About, I believe, May 2013.
So you've been doing it for 2 years now.
No, we did about 18 months to get 52 episodes out, and that's airing currently.
And
depending on how people like it, we might be back for season two or not.
Very cool. But, yeah. I mean, it's nice to be a voice of a cartoon.
I know.
Huh?
I never thought... I mean, I did a couple voice classes here, and I was blown away by the talent and the dedication, and I thought, you know, these guys that want to do voice, you know, like in L.A., they really are good at voices, and I don't think I can hang with that because that's not my 100% focus. But then somehow, yeah, I got that one out there, and that was like learning by trial by fire, I guess, because when you're the lead in a cartoon, in the cartoon, basically it's a boy with some oyster powers, but he's trying to be normal. So he can like drink milk and shoot pearls, and he can fly as long as he has his shell, but he's trying to be normal, and yet things always happen to him. So as well as having like a weird little, you know, cartoon voice, I also had to have him, but sometimes he could turn into a girl or maybe get radio waves in his head so he'd be speaking Russian or something. So from that, I like had to learn how to do voices. But since then, I've found it's really fun. It's really free. It's really imaginative how you can, that's sometimes the toughest part is, you know, learning all your lines. And then once you get that done, you can play. But this one, you're reading through, but you're reading with people and a voice director, and it's fun.
Now, I know in animated movies, they say that sometimes or most of the time, they base the characters on the person that does the voice, right? Did they do that with you as well? I mean, did they have to know you first before they created the character?
I think they created this character, and I just happened to have the voice quality they wanted when they were looking. I got really lucky on that one.
Right.
But I did talk to, you know, some of the producers, because there's three of us main guys for Boyster that voice the main characters as well as some of the side ones, aside from the swing voices. And I was, I went out with one of the producers, and I was like, how did I, like, Raz is like a super pro. I mean, this guy can listen to my voice and be me better than me. Like, that's how pro this guy is. And they're like, yeah, but he would have never done you.
Right.
Like, he would have never done the voice you just happened to do, because that's not... I don't know what she was trying to explain it. So she was like, usually we have people that get like, you know, they just have a certain type of voice, like Jay Baruchel or something, a certain specific voice, and they'll do that. And then we have our professional voice people who do a whole lot of things. I mean, the guys from Birmingham, I respect them a lot. Rasmus Hardiker, he's in an awesome movie called Cockneys versus Zombies. and Your Highness with Keira Knightley as well. But,
she seems to be in everything.
Yeah. And she's great in the latest Oscar nominee.
Imitation Game.
Imitation Game.
So good.
Yeah.
I can't say
she's
things,
very good actress. She's very beautiful, too.
I question her red carpet looks, but other than that, she's great.
Okay.
She doesn't dress very well, huh?
No, she wears like weird chiffon with like flowers and butterflies sewn on. It's very odd. It's Chanel, but it's like really ugly.
Well, maybe she can't dress. I don't know. Akika Tabi, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Everybody go out, check out the movie Everly if you can. It's available everywhere. Give the website again.
Yeah, it's operationeverly.tumblr.com.
Okay, cool. And you can see everything there. Where can people contact you? Do you have a Twitter?
Yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. It's on Facebook. It would be Aki Katabi or Aki Katabi Acting for my page. Twitter is Aki Katabi, and my website's aki-katabi.com.
Sounds good. So everybody friend him. He's a very cool guy. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
A lot of fun. And much success with the rest of your career.
We'll see.
And don't forget us minions when you make it big.
Hey, we are all in it. We're one big happy family.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Jen, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. And we'll see everybody Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.